Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. Later this morning, many on Wall Street and in Washington will be closely watching the latest survey of how much the economy is growing, or is more likely the case, shrinking. Now, that sounds like bad news, but the reaction you're hearing from a lot of economists has been more, wait, these numbers don't make any sense. And that number in question is GDP, or gross domestic product. And now some are taking a closer look at how we actually calculate those numbers. This matters because what that number tells us about the economy can affect government policies, maybe even win elections. Well, joining me are Rana Fruhar of Time magazine and Zachary Carabel, a columnist with Politico. And Zachary, you wrote a book on this very topic, The Leading Indicators, a short history of the numbers that rule our world. Should GDP rule our world?
Well, the short answer is no, but we probably want a slightly longer than short answer. It certainly has come to rule our world in the past 40, 50 years. I think one of the things that's rather extraordinary is 70 years ago, 80 years ago, it neither ruled our world nor existed, and we were perfectly able to rule our worlds without reference to these numbers. And yet, they've become totalizing, and not just here, everywhere in the world. I mean, the Chinese government basically has tethered its entire legitimacy to GDP maximization. So this is a governmental aspect of the world we're living in where making this number look bigger has become a central aspect of governments claiming that they're doing a good job.
And why was this number created 70 years ago?
It was created because in the middle of the Depression, when Roosevelt undertook the New Deal, they had to be able to say, look, we're spending all this money in an unprecedented way because things are bad. And they wanted to be able to say, we spent all this money and then things got better. But without any measurement of what they were, you could not claim that things were either getting better or worse. So GDP is invented purely to demonstrate whether or not the New Deal is working.
So, Rana, what then is the problem right now with the GDP figure?
Well, there's historically been a lot of problems with GDP. For starters, it calculates things that aren't socially useful, like, for example, the fact that we have a huge prison system. That's growth, even though it actually doesn't really reflect something good in the economy. Conversely, the fact that, say, European healthcare systems have better outcomes than ours do and, you know, may actually help grow the sort of social capital of society, that doesn't get factored into GDP. Right now, at this very moment, there's a big conversation about technology and what technology is doing for growth. And one of the sort of conundrums is the fact that productivity numbers are actually really low, even though we all kind of feel like we're in this digital boom, you know, with smartphones and all kinds of social media. That's not really getting calculated somehow into growth.
So then what are policymakers supposed to do if these numbers are not necessarily reliable or not giving them a sense of where the economy is going?
I think looking to policymakers to do something constructive about these numbers is not going to happen in any proximate future. And Ron is entirely right in that a lot of what is happening in what we call the economy today is virtual and technological in a way that none of these numbers and none of these frameworks were designed to measure, right? All this stuff was invented when the primary activity of economic life was making stuff and buying stuff and selling stuff, which is still primary. But the smartphone, Google, right? Google is present in GDP if people buy ads. But it's not present if you and I use it, right? It's free. And when something is free, it doesn't show up in GDP.
It also doesn't tabulate the fact that all of us can do so much more than we used to. We're in kind of a gig economy. And most people I know, particularly in journalism, have two or three jobs at this point. That's made possible by technology, but that doesn't get tabulated either.
But whether it's GDP or unemployment numbers, I mean, policymakers use those to try and make decisions, whether you like the outcome or not, or whether they're effective or not. They will use those to say, oh, we need to have a jobs program, or we need to do more research and development tax credits to help further manufacturing in the country. I mean, actions are taken based on what these numbers show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure policymakers are, in fact, taking any action about GDP. It's much more of a bludgeon, a tool to say GDP is not growing fast enough, so the Obama administration has failed, or GDP is not growing fast enough, and this shows that Republican laissez-faire policies are a failure. Rarely is there actual constructive policy of we're not growing optimally.
So what should individuals or businesses do when they hear these numbers and they think, oh, the economy's maybe not growing, or the job sector isn't looking so good, or housing prices are not doing so great? I mean, what's the individual to do?
Frankly, you know, smart investors and smart people in general, I think, take the kind of weekly, daily, even monthly or quarterly data with a grain of salt, right? I mean, three's a trend, okay? I don't start thinking anything about GDP numbers unless there's been about three quarters in a certain direction.
Zachary, what would you tell an individual who's trying to figure out what to do when they look at signs that say maybe the economy isn't doing so well?
First of all, you know, what's the economy? We all have a very different position within it, and I think everybody is best served by just having their question. What question are we trying to answer? My general take is almost none of our individual lives have questions that are answered by these numbers. You know, should I buy a home? You know, my joke about this is if you want to know whether you should buy a home, none of these figures matter, but Zillow matters a lot, or any online system. And, you know, that's a very different world. And I think in some sense, it's not that these numbers aren't important if you are the chairman of the Federal Reserve. They're very important if you're the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But most of us are not the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
You know, on that note, it's worth saying, though, Janet Yellen, who is the chairman, as opposed to her predecessors, looks at a much broader range of data. She's really big on a wide variety of metrics, not just one figure.
Should there be a gut economic indicator? I'm just feeling it's a good time to look for a new job or buy a new home.
There probably should be, but there won't be.
My favorite is actually the latte index. Howard Schultz at Starbucks looks at the coffee data 4 times a day, and that says some really interesting things about the national mood. You know, when there are big disconcerting events like the shooting in Ferguson, for example, coffee sales go down very quickly, sharply. They come back up, but it's kind of an interesting little indicator of what's going on psychically in the community.
Well, looking ahead to some of the other stories you're watching, Rana, what are you paying attention to?
I'm thinking about Greece. It's back in the news again. You're going to be hearing a lot of wrangling between Germany and Greece about who's going to get bailed out or not, whether Greek debt is going to be forgiven.
I need to pay attention this time?
Only in so much as I think the news will be good. I think that they probably already cut a deal behind the scenes.
Zachary, what are you watching?
So I'm watching the Greek situation as well. I'm probably more in the camp of something that small in comparative terms should not be a risk factor. You know, we are in a period of weird stasis. We've been in crisis economics for the past 7-8 years. There's been issue after issue after issue. And right now, other than potentially Greece, we're not. And while the media, of which some of us are at times complicit, will do its best to create stories because that creates energy and attention, there is actually not much going on right now. And that's not a bad thing. You know, we should take these moments to kind of breathe deep and think about the world.
Well, Zachary Karabel, head of global strategies with Investnet, a financial services firm, and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.